61. Oscar expressed disbelief at first, then anger at the opened panel, and shock at the sight of the skeleton. It left him pale and short of breath. Right then, Nate was certain Oscar didn't know all the secrets of the Kavach building. An hour later, six people were in Nate's apartment with a gurney, a very expensive-looking camera, some lights on tripods, and several bright orange tackle boxes. They looked and acted like the medical examiners on countless television shows, except for the distinct lack of badges on their shirts or windbreakers. He asked who they were with. One man told him, "The hospital," while the sole woman in the group said, "The authorities." Nate waited in the doorway with Oscar. Mandy was by her apartment across the hall, looking nervous and fascinated at the same time. Veek, Tim, Zila, and Andrew stood two doors down. They couldn't see anything, but they watched Nate and Oscar for hints or signs of what was going on. Inside the apartment, the medical examiners removed Kotorovich's body in the largest pieces they could. Each part was placed in a large container that looked like industrial-strength Tupperware. There was no discussion of cutting into the wall. None of the people mentioned the odd cables or devices inside the crawlspace. One of them, the man who said they were from the hospital, asked a few questions. When had Nate found the body? Did he touch it? Did anyone else touch it? Could they contact him later for a full statement? He answered as best he could. It was 11:15 when the last container was loaded onto the gurney. The woman spoke with Oscar while the same man who'd asked the questions gave Nate a pat on the shoulder and told him not to think about it. The gurney was rolled down the hall, carried down the stairs, and slid into the back of an official-looking blue van. They drove off, and Nate knew he would never see either the people or Kotorovich's body again. Oscar cleared his throat.
"I am so sorry I doubted you," he said for the fourth or fifth time. "It must have been a horrible shock to discover that."
"Yeah," Nate answered for the fourth or fifth time. He looked at Oscar. "Any idea who it is?" The older man shook his head.
"I think you would not be shocked to know many bad things have happened here over the years. I can think of two or three people it could be, and I'm sure there are more from before my time."
He shivered.
"Again, you have my apologies."
"Don't worry about it."
"I'm going to have that hatch sealed and your apartment cleaned. The company will cover the cost."
"Thanks." When Nate got back upstairs, he found everyone standing around his door. He left it open when he went down with Oscar and the group of medical examiners. Clive was there, but no Debbie. Mandy cleared her throat.
"Are you okay, Nate?"
"All things considered, yeah, I'm okay."
"So, is it true?" asked Clive. "What Veek and Tim are saying?"
Nate looked at Veek and she nodded.
"I guess so," he said.
"It was Alexander Kotorovich."
"You found him?"
said Andrew. His eyes were wide with awe. It made him look like an anime character. Nate nodded again.
"Did they say what they're going to do with him?"
asked Veek.
"With his body?"
"No," Nate shook his head. "They were polite, but they didn't give out a lot of answers, you know?"
"I didn't think they would," said Tim. "They smelled like contractors."
Zila raised a blue eyebrow.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"They weren't with the city or the state," said Tim. "Not with the feds either, not officially at least."
"And again," said Veek. "You know this stuff, how?"
He didn't take the bait.
"You sure you're okay?"
"Look, guys," said Nate, "I appreciate the concern, but right now I'm beat." Mandy's head turned to look at something in her apartment.
"It is 11:00, she said.
"Man, you're a wuss," Zila said to Nate. "What if we all meet up Friday on the roof?" he suggested. "We can watch the sun go down, have a few beers, and talk about this and yesterday and all the stuff that's happened these past couple days." Andrew's head bobbed from one shoulder to the other.
"Intoxication goes against the Lord's wishes," he said.
"Yes, we know," said Tim. "I'll bring a bottled water just for you."
"Thank you,"
he turned to Nate and bowed his head.
"You'll be in my prayers."
He slipped down the hall and vanished into his room.
"Roger'll still be at work," Zila said. "He doesn't get off until pretty late on Fridays."
"Ask him if he's okay with us doing it without him,"
said Nate. He knows pretty much everything already. We can get him caught up over the weekend.
Zila nodded. She gave him a hug and a quick kiss on the cheek. Then she leaned in to whisper something in Veek's ear. Veek batted her away with an annoyed growl. Zila smirked and headed down the hall to her apartment.
I'm going to go let Debbie know what happened, said Clive. She'll probably bake you a banana bread or something.
He rested a hand on Nate's shoulder and headed down the back stairwell. Mandy's waved once before closing her door.
Tim angled his head toward Nate's apartment.
You going to be okay in there?
No, said Nate. To be honest, I think I'm going to sleep in the lounge, maybe forever.
You're not sleeping in the lounge, said Veek.
He shook his head.
I know this shouldn't freak me out. I know he's been there all along, but still.
It's normal, said Tim. Everybody freaks out when they see their first dead body, no matter how long it's been dead.
Nate looked at him.
You're not freaking out.
It's not my first dead body. He walked back to his own apartment. Get some sleep. You'll feel better in the morning.